a couple of days to think about this. Audio courtesy of TBS. I've had a couple of days to think about this, and I still think it's one of the finest moments I've ever been a part of in Cleveland sports as a fan. That Grand Slam, I number one to me is the block and the shot, probably number one and two. That honestly, Tone, that might be number three, the Lane Thomas Grand
Slam.
Number
three.
Thinking about it more.
Dang.
That might be it. I want to tell my experience. I kind of want to go around the room here and ask everybody. Well, I might not ask the guy behind the glass his experience because I'm trying not to start saying uncivil things to him. Either way, your experience is very interesting, Tone.
It was the worst experience you could have.
Owen was there.
So for me, it's
well,
not.
Well, mine was the best experience.
For Owen, it'll be a little different. I'll just let Owen take it away because for me, it's not a top 100 Cleveland sports experience. And that has way more to do with my situation than the Guardians.
I want to, because I think you might change your mind here in a second. Go ahead.
You were at Santa Maria, right, Anthony?
Yeah.
I was at Santa Maria. It was crazy. This was more crazy. I was fortunate enough. We had tickets. We had a football game scheduled. And when they changed to the 1 o'clock start, I said, well, we got to sell the tickets. We aren't going. And my wife convinced me to just keep the tickets and go. We walked in by the bottom of the second and stood where you couldn't see anything. And then saw a friend of ours who had four seats, had two open seats because her kids were at a football game and said, come sit by us on the third baseline, about halfway into left field. My view of that Grand Slam, I will never forget it. It is etched into my memory banks forever. It might be the last thing I ever see when my day comes to see things never again, right? Just, it was the most insane. The whole stadium was shaking. The whole stadium was vibrating. I thought I was not going to have a voice today from screaming and running all the way down to the field and high-fiving everyone else on the way back up. And it became, from that moment on, there were a couple guys sitting around me said, you know, we still got to get these outs. But it was a party from that moment on. I mean, it was a coronation of winning the ALDS. It's not the end goal.
Wow. So it didn't get pensive at all later on when it was 5-3?
I think there was still a looseness of like, oh, we've got – well, I mean, Thursday night was 5-3, right?
Yeah.
Like there was a feeling of like we've got some room to play with here, and then they went and tacked on extra runs. Also, the once he hits that, it's the every vendor you see, you're telling them, hey, get me one more.
No, it was I felt going. It was
a good time. And then the afterwards over on Prospect and Huron and East Forth, the chance of bleep the Yankees was deafening at times, just as loud. It was a great day.
Now, wait a minute. Did you keep the party going?
It was, we were down here till 10.
Bleep doesn't stand for bring on, does it?
It does not.
Okay.
That would be your version.
No, it's not mine. It is not mine. Several people told me to do it. I'm not doing it. That's just not going to happen.
I would tell you what it was. It would be the last conversation we ever had on air.
Okay. Well, we've had a lot of good conversations on the air. So, hey, you could say anything once, and then that'd be it.
I mean, just an amazing time in the stadium. And just everybody that got to be there, even with the time change, and I know that screwed a couple of people out of their plans. They did
a few people,
and it was, you finally saw it. This is what I've been talking about. Youth sports.
Yeah.
My college football watching days have been numbered because of youth sports. We somehow managed at 12:55. I was standing on a football field in Avon Lake and made it in by the bottom of the second.
Oh gosh. We had, my dad texted me. He's like, hey, we're coming to the game. He said, we're going to the game. And I thought he said he was like coming to Axel's game. I'm like, no, the game's already started. Don't come here. I go, oh, because he's like, Kerry got tickets. And I go, oh, well, we don't sell tickets. So obviously, these guys like, oh my God. So I've never been to a playoff anything. I've always watched on TV. I think the mood, I'm too nervous for things like that. My dad went, he had a remarkable time. My dad's an old style Indians fan from way back. He had a blast. I'm glad he had a blast.
Had he been to a playoff game before?
My father?
Yeah.
No. I think this is my father's first.
Yes. And, a lifelong Northeast Ohio guy.
I mean, he's a man in his 60s. He was a baseball fan first. You know, that's how that goes. He's mellowed out over time, so mellowing out has made him a bigger baseball fan as you follow it along. So I was happy for him that he got to see it. I think Lima's experience with it is pretty exceptional.
Is miserable, is what you want to say.
You got to tell everybody how it went. Yeah. I got my story, but I want to hear yours.
Well, I want to thank the four guys who I was living vicariously through right below our broadcast booth at Kent State. Famous Dick's Stadium, Kenny,
yes.
Where I was told, watch the adjectives.
Vaunted.
Watch the way you describe. Don't get too creative describing the name.
Well, then name it something else. Name it Lambert Stadium.
I guess
it's got an X in it.
I guess over the last few weeks, some people had gotten in trouble a little bit anyway. So I'm sitting there.
Shriffin.
And
he never stops.
I had my tablet and I had the game on and I realized I can't continue doing this. Maybe if I was doing color analysis of a football game, then I could have it there. And while the play is going, you know, you can't do it if you're doing play-by-play. And I realized, this sucks. I have to put it away. It's going to be distracting. But thankfully, I had four guys right in front of us. Big fans of the show, by the way.
Thankful to them.
They at first had four phones out, and they're like, why don't we just share one? Because, you know, they took an interest in going to see the Kent State football game, apparently. Yeah. And they were letting me know what was going on to the point where when it was loaded, guy knocked on the booth. And I'm like, all right, I love these guys. But again, this is distracting as I'm going third down and 10, 4:22 to go. And all of a sudden, the guys start jumping in unison. And I'm like, that could only be a grand slam. And then they're screaming, grand slam. I'm like, okay, shut the booth. Shut the booth. He's doing a game with Ryan Kavanaugh. I'm like, we have to shut the booth now. This is.
My God.
I think we're gonna be okay. But it was unfortunate because obviously, had they have just kept the 4 o'clock game, it never rained until 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Had they have just kept the original start time, you know, so many people wouldn't have had to make their alterations or whatever. But I obviously happy, and I looked around. There were a bunch of people exploding in the stadium. The football stadium that I was at. So
man,
a lot of
great.
People had the same deal. They either had it, you know, radio in your earbud or you had it on your phone.
I took it in on Spectrum. I took it in on Sirius. Because we had to go to dinner in Youngstown. So I left halftime of the fifth and sixth grade game. I had Axel with me. He's in the passenger seat. It was a monsoon. And so I heard it. And it was, you know, and they get the bases loaded. Like right before they get the bases loaded, it was... Tom Hamilton jumps in. He's like, I just got a text from Betsy Kling. There's a lot of rain. It's overcast. There's a lot of rain to the south, but it's clear here. I go, oh, they're because I thought for a second, I go, man, they're going to have a rain delay. It's pouring down here. But, you know, that's clouds don't go all over the place. And so we go to turn on 224. Jose had just got hit in the hand. It's a 1-1 game. I was worried about Jose. And then the moment, like, he hits it deep. And Jim Rosenhaus goes to describe it. Axel starts losing his mind. He's in the passenger seat. Now, remember, it's a monsoon. So I am like gripping the wheel as I'm trying to merge onto 224 to go back home. And I've never heard it so loud on a broadcast in my entire life. He was totally drowned out by the crowd. He was totally drowned out. I've never heard anything louder. The moment that it encompassed... just in the truck, it's raining. I have my son next to me. He's losing his mind. I'm driving, trying to keep it on the road. I'm trying to hold in my emotions as I'm trying to keep it on the road. It's 5-1. And then, like, we get to the gas station. It's like, I can't believe this just happened. I cannot believe this just happened. And then there was a moment because I filled up. And by the time I got done filling up, it's like, all right, it's 5-2 now. Like, I didn't get a chance to really... take it all in, and then afterwards, I'm like, man, this is such a cool moment. And so that's why I'm thinking, I don't care if it was an ALDS game. I know it's a best-of-five series, not a best-of-seven. And they've played in World Series before, and Rajay Davis hit a home run in Game 7, even though I do knock it because it ended up being in a losing effort. Not his fault, but it ended up being that. I go, man, I do. I put it right up there. Like, to me, if I'm ranking them, it's block shot, whichever way you want to do it. And then it would be that, and then it probably would be when Jimmy said, you know, oh, the only thing is missing is all of you, is up there. when they beat Pittsburgh to go to the playoffs during the COVID year, and there were only 12,000 fans in the stands, and I thought that that was just such a great line, and it was emotional at that time. I mean, we see what they are now, for the love of God. But either way, to me, it was just such a big moment. I really do. I think that we witnessed, in my lifetime, I think I, through audio, witnessed one of the greatest moments of my sporting life. One of the greatest moments I've ever seen as a Cleveland sports fan. It was unbelievable to me that guy, it was so much more satisfying that guy, who had so many issues with the trade, with this is all we get, is this Lane Thomas fella who ain't that great to begin with, and through the month of August was terrible, just terrible, and then did what he did in the month of September, and he comes up here in this moment and has this opportunity, and then I started to think about the entire series, and well, man, David Fry steps in, and he does what he does in game four, and Brian Rocchio, who we laughed at when he says he wants to be like Jose Ramirez during the regular season, Brian Rocchio having an incredible series offensively and defensively. I go, these guys are stepping up. And then Austin Hedges, you could tell the difference with Emmanuel Clase. I don't mean to rip Bo Naylor here, but he's just so inexperienced and he doesn't know what he's doing compared to Austin Hedges. There was so much more confidence with Emmanuel Clase with Austin Hedges behind the plate. Like, you guys could see that. You guys could see everything there. And and what I saw in game four to game five and all of it, it was just... It was so remarkable. It was just so remarkable, and they should be proud of themselves. Steven Vogt should be proud as a manager. I did not like going immediately to the bullpen with Cade Smith in the third inning. I thought they should have let Matt Boyd go out there for another out or two.
I don't even know if that was a good overall Vogt game. But the heroics, and I'm just the way he managed the bullpen and whatever, but you know, you don't really care when you move on and you're one of the final four teams playing.
And Eli Morgan, for a time, who I said he sounds like a country act at Clay's Park during the summer concert series, and he goes out there, you got to get two outs, and he was fantastic. Obviously fantastic. Where he gets out there, I'm like, man, I don't have much confidence in this. I don't know how this is going to go. And he goes and he shuts it down up at the right moment every time and put together an entire team effort of it. And that's what it was such a special moment to me. I wish it was yesterday because we'd still be coming off the feelings of it. I think that a lot of people might be getting ready for the Yankees now. But to me, that moment and that series with all these different names coming in, picking each other up, like Andrew Walters was lost. Nervous. I think the moment was maybe a little bit too big for him. I worry about the Yankees
now.
I do too.
I don't know how much they can trust him at all next series.
But you have other veterans, and Emmanuel Clase is great. Eli Morgan was great. Like, they picked each other up. It was just outstanding. It's a well-run franchise. They deserve that. There's good people over there. They deserve this, and they deserve to go out and beat the Yankees. They deserve it. I know it may or may not happen. I'm not going to guarantee anything, and I'm not going to say the stupid stuff I said
we
in 2017, even though
you?
I can't stand it.
Tough-talking
no,
Ken?
I'm not going to do it.
Come on.
I'm not
going to
do it. It's
the
on them. It's not
it,
on me.
Kenny.
No, because it's almost like it's bad luck, and I don't want to be bad luck to them. They deserve all the good luck in the world because they're wonderful people over there. You know, Curtis and his staff and everybody, they're wonderful people, and they deserve every bit of success that they possibly can get. I know I've said a lot of things about the owner, and a lot of things about the owner are absolutely true. But they deserve it. It's a well-run franchise. The fans that have stuck it out with them for years, they absolutely deserve every bit of success that they get. 216-474-0092. I thought it was one of the greatest moments I've ever been a part of in Cleveland sports history. I'm glad Owen got to witness it live. I'm glad you got to live vicariously through the fans when you were doing your job and you had to do your job. I'm glad I was in the truck at the right time to hear it. I'm thankful for the guy who was on the sidelines at the youth game, who was playing it loud enough so we could hear it on the sidelines. I'm thankful for all of it.
Yeah,
was just such a wonderful, wonderful moment.
How about no more elimination games at 1 o'clock? We'll leave it at that. We've made our history. Let's move them all to where everybody in the region can see them.
Is four okay? Is four?
I think that's better.
It's not elimination. I think we have 5 o'clock in game three on Thursday. 5:08. I want to say
5:08 Thursday. So, and then 8:08 on Friday.
7:38 tonight. I believe 7:38 tomorrow at Yankee Stadium. Today it will be Alex Cobb. It seems to be Tanner Bibee tomorrow. 216-474-0092. This is the perfect setup for Guardians fans. And I'll tell you why with some audio coming up next on The Fan. Is this the perfect setup right now for the Guardians and for Guardians fans? I think it may be. It might be. Everybody outside of Cleveland is picking against you. It's house money. Everybody outside of Cleveland says, I mean, I'll play the Alex Rodriguez stuff. It'll set your hair on fire hearing it. I had to hear it. I had to hear some of the stuff live. What would have been Friday night, waiting for the interminable post game of the freaking ALDS to end, and all the conversation was going. It was like, are you guys giving away freebies on national television here? Like, let's get going here. I'd like to get out of here at some point here. It's going to be a pretty emotional evening. And to hear the post game, I mean, the guys just sounded like they had no concern whatsoever about either Cleveland or Detroit, And about either of the AL Central teams, doesn't matter. It's the Yankees to lose. I mean, this is Alex Rodriguez on Fox Sports, him talking to Derek Jeter, if you can stomach. Go ahead.
You never want to say you never have an easy road to the World Series, but if the Yankees could pick and choose their opponents, I think they got the two that they would pick and choose because of the success that they've had against AL Central.
You don't have to say it. I'll say it. They have an easy road to the World Series.
It's not easy.
Look, it's never easy, right? But this is the clearest path in 20 years.
I mean, I really want to say bleep the Yankees because I know Yankees fans and I know how loud and boisterous they can be. I know how arrogant they can be. I hear how arrogant Alex Rodriguez can be. And yeah, it starts to really get my blood going a little bit. Now, my blood's about to go a little bit coming up at 7 o'clock because I have to speak about something else, about a 1-5 football team. But it gets my blood going a little bit. I'm like, hey, man, I'd love to go give him hell. I think this is the perfect setup here. There is no pressure on the Guardians. Zero pressure on this team.
No.
Zero.
I think we
could be out to have some fun.
The pressure was last series.
Yes.
To whatever degree you think there was pressure last series. I know we got in kind of arguments with some people about that, but this is totally different. I mean, nobody thinks you're going to win. Just judging by you're gonna see the payroll stuff floated out, you know, consistently. And but you said blood
boil. The only people that think the Guardians are going to win are Guardians fans, which is, I think, exactly how Guardians fans want it.
Well, the blood boiling thing, mine didn't. I actually don't. I think it's fun. I think it's fun this way. I love the fact that they not only play the role of the spoiler to end the Yankees. And what's easier? What's been easier over the last 20 plus years for Cleveland sports fans than to root against one team in particular, and that's the Yankees?
I can see the common sense in it. They have a $309 million payroll. We have what, 130, I think it is, after it's all said and done. I think it's probably lower than that. But they have a $309 million payroll.
Is that what it is now? I've seen so many numbers.
Somebody wrote 140, and I thought it was a bit high. Our payroll's just above the – what do you got over there?
The Yankees' payroll is at $309 million, according to Spotcheck. That's sitting in the league. The Guardians are 23rd with $106.7
million. 106. Okay, so that's not anywhere near the 140 that I saw. So I swear to God, somebody had put that on Twitter. Did seem to be a bit high. 106. I can see both things in the common sense ago. The Yankees have a lot of pressure on them. They've spent a lot of money. They've made a lot of big trades and then spent a lot of money on those guys. There should be pressure on them to win. I'm not going to stand here and be stupid, but I don't care for disrespect. I don't think that the Guardians team that was expected to finish under 500 to a lot of people and finish fourth in the AL Central should be taken to disrespect because they're a well-run franchise and they're in the ALCS. To me, that bothers me. I can see both sides. I can understand that it should be the Yankees that have the pressure on them. And they should win the series. But damn it, I don't think that it should be some, well, this is an easy path. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. You have two teams in the National League that have spent a boatload of money, and either of them are waiting on us. And right now it looks like the Dodgers, of course, it was only one game, right? Either of them are waiting on us. But damn it, I think that you have to take everything seriously. And there's so many things about the Yankees that I swear to God I don't like. I've never been an Aaron Boone fan. I think he chirps about the wrong things. I think he chirps about the wrong things to try to rally the troops up behind him a little bit. The constant ball strike thing has bothered me. I didn't like Aaron Boone when he played for the Indians, I swear to God. I've never really been a big fan. I respect the Yankees. I am annoyed by their fan base. I am annoyed that their fan base seems to be all over the world. I'm annoyed because of the front runners that attach themselves to him. I'm annoyed because there's a person, I'm not going to sit here and deny the elephant in the room. I'm annoyed because there's a person who, in this studio, that claims he's both a Guardians and a Yankees fan. And as a 38-year-old person who's watched both these teams and knows that the Guardians need every single fan they could possibly get, I don't understand how somebody 11 years younger than me who claims that he's a man could do such a thing, but I'll try to keep it under wraps other than that. I don't care for the disrespect. But I love that we're in a position where it really is, it truly is house money. All the pressure is on that team. With that payroll, with those expectations and that city, all the pressure is on that
team. Now, we'll see if it feels like house money, depending on how this series starts. Like, imagine if you get that split in New York and now you're feeling greedy. Now you're feeling like, holy cow, we have a chance here to go to the World Series and maybe actually win this entire thing.
Hell of a point. If I had to choose how it's done, like if you get the split, if I had to choose how it's done, I'd rather win tomorrow and then come back. I don't want them to have to go on the plane ride back thinking, oh, God. Because it's Garrett Cole tomorrow. And then it's against Tanner Bibee. And if you get Garrett Cole tomorrow, I think a lot of people are feeling great coming back here for game three. I know I would be. So if I had to choose, I want to win every single game, obviously. But if you had to choose a split, I would take tomorrow. 216-474-0092. Kevin in Cleveland. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
We're doing good, Kevin. Go ahead.
So, obviously, big day for Cleveland today. ALCS starts today. And I, honest to God, I think that this Guardians team, it's a revamped Guardians team compared to the first series that we played against New York. Yes, we got it handed to us in the second series. It wasn't that great, trying out new pitching, yada, yada, whatever. The first series, if Esteban Florial doesn't get called out on a really, really bad strike call, there's an opportunity there to win that series. Yes, we did get blown out in the second game of that doubleheader, but we did win that Sunday day game. I think we stack up better against the Yankees than the national media is trying to say that we, not even mentioning our name in a lot of their articles, I'm sure you've seen. So I think we stand a much, much, much better chance than a lot of the people that are, commenting on the sport think. And I think we're going to shock the world in this series. I don't know if we're necessarily going to win it, but I think we're going to make it look like we're going to be some trouble for a long time.
The only way you're going to shock him, Kevin, and thank you very much for the call, is to win.
Shocking the world is a win.
Is to win the series. That's the only way you're going to actually shock him, because they'll say, you can give them hell, and at the end of the series, if you lose in game seven, they're going to go, hey, the Guardians had a great run, but the Yankees won the series, and they move on. The other thing that we have to pay attention to is that nobody in that Major League Baseball office, is it in New York? Nobody in that office wants the Guardians to win.
No.
Nobody wants that to happen. They'll take either the Mets or the...
They would get a fraction of the ratings in the World Series.
They will absolutely take a Subway Series. They would love a New York-LA Series. They would love that. None of them wants you to win. So in the words of Lou Brown, you want to give them all a great big bleep burger to eat.
Does Lima like, or does Lima no like?
Like?
Tell me likey.
I'm liking it.
I like it a lot.
No like.
He doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
You're tacky and I hate you.
Like or no like.
I definitely knew what I liked, and I definitely knew what I didn't like.
We'd like to focus on what we liked here, because in 15 minutes...
There's a lot of things we don't like.
There's a lot not to like, and we're going to have to hear from one of the...
Functional offense.
We're going to have to hear from one of the team leaders on the state of affairs in the Cleveland Browns locker room.
We got to keep watching.
All right, we will get to that...
Welcome to prison.
...in just a second. Let's start out with...
Lima Lights.
How about your rookie manager, Steven Vogt, popping champagne and on the brink of doing just that in the locker room on Saturday night?
I keep being so proud of this group. We're back against the wall. We're never out of it. We answer and we shut them down. We still got work to do. Let's freaking go!
Pop, 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 pop. One by one, Kenny. One by one. Boy, were they having fun, which led me to have to say this.
I'm a no likes.
What is with the body shaming of Josh Naylor? People were going nuts. Just they clearly weren't baseball fans. So I saw this on social media and I'm like, That's a baseball player right there. And other people are like, that is not an athlete.
He's
and I'm
thick.
Like, he is an athlete.
He's allowed to be thick.
He is an athlete.
What's the matter with him being thick?
The body shaming. It's 2024. We're not supposed to be body shaming.
Well, how old are these people? Because the greatest hitter of my generation, Tony Gwynn,
right,
Tony Gwynn was a little punchy.
How about John Kruk? I saw a video of John Kruk going, and he's going through the Phillies weight room from 1993.
Yes.
And he's looking around going, this was just stupid that any of my teammates did any of this because we had a game the next day. Why would you want to do this to your muscles? You need rest. So what? Now all of a sudden we're not allowed to have hefty guys?
I think they just want to find something to be upset about. Yeah, you know what? So he's got a little bit of overhang. So what? Does he still play good baseball?
Yes.
So he's got a little bit of an awning.
Boy, what a series. What a big series coming up for Josh Naylor, specifically Josh Naylor.
Yeah.
Because the last time we were in a playoff series with that team,
it
did not end well. I cannot wait to see. There's something about him that makes me think that he has taken all that into consideration over the last few years and could erupt at a big moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see it. I've always thought he had good series. The batting average is not the greatest against them for him, but he's got a few home runs against the Yankees in playoffs 2020-2022.
Yeah.
So I'm ready to see it.
Would Babe Ruth be considered fat by today's standards?
Yes.
I don't know if he'd be considered fat. Like in those days when there was no like fast food at every corner, he was fat. I don't know if Babe Ruth would be considered fat.
Oh, you think
fat.
He would be smaller now?
I think he'd probably look like Josh Naylor.
I'm going to have to pull up a few photos here.
Lima Light.
We'll do that in a little bit. All right, Stephen Kwan, 11 hits in that series. I mean, the last three games, 3-for-4, 3-for-5, 3-for-5. Ho-hum, 524. Kenny, he was one of the guys that I was focused in most going into the postseason. Because I said, hey, if his back is having issues, remember, he missed that time. We didn't even know if he was going to be back and fully healthy. I'm like, if they don't have him at the top of the order, this is going to be a really hard postseason to try to navigate. And he bats 524. Yep. He goes 11 of 21. Just insanity that every time he was up there, you knew you'd get traffic on the bases. Yep. It was awesome to see. Plus, just everything about Stephen Kwan and the way that he carries himself. You know, we talked about the defensive play that he made earlier in the series.
Yeah.
There's just a confidence about him that is totally back, which is awesome considering the type of year he had a season ago, then the second half of the year. This was great to see. And hey, if he's a streaky guy at this stage, I think we've got him streaking in the right direction.
I'm still just blown away by Rocchio. I've come to expect it out of Stephen Kwan. I agree with you overall. I just want to make a bigger deal about Brian Rocchio. What an obscene postseason for him, offensively, defensively, just an outstanding series against Detroit. So happy with Brian Rocchio.
I'm alive.
Did you have a favorite video, a favorite go-to video? Because when I got home from the football game, I just sat there on Twitter and I was like, I'm pulling up every Guardians video.
So I only saw, I don't know if anybody else did, and I apologize to anybody, the originator, that account Men in Blazers, that show that shows European football. You know that viral video of the people in the bar after the goal on the big screen and people put in different things of it now? Like, it was like that moment at Progressive Field on the home run. And then I had a video that a friend of ours took from the stands. And it was a guy, Patrick Harper, and he had the video. I hope I don't mean to dox him, but I have to. He had a video from the stands. And the quiet before they know it's like gone, like the hope that it's gone, and then the elation, the jumping, the boos in the air. It's what a remarkable moment. I just thought it was, and again, to hear it, I heard it in the truck. Poor Jim Rosenhaus gets drowned out by the crowd. I've never heard a crowd so loud in my life. I've never heard it so loud. The Rajay Davis home run, I've never heard it that loud in my life.
I think one of my favorite had to be
Lima Lights.
The Donovan Mitchell experience was awesome. It was awesome that he was able to chronicle that. And it was just so good because so many fans afterwards were just uploading their videos from around the stadium.
Mets Gardo's World Series. Who does Donovan Mitchell root for?
I can't wait to see him throw out the first pitch.
For which team?
Yeah. No, he's throwing out the first pitch in Cleveland. I'm making him wear a Guardians jersey and throw the first pitch.
He can't have a halfsie. He can't go halves. This cannot be one of those situations.
He can't be Mitch. He's either all in or all out.
He's got to go with
it. They both have Mitchell in their name.
His own father works for the Mets, so I guess I couldn't really hold it against him. Mitch has no good reason.
I was going to say, I'm just amazed that there's somebody else in the city who can root for Cleveland and New York at the same time. It doesn't seem like such a foreign concept now, does it?
I'm sorry. Have you put up 71 in a basketball game for us before?
On the playground in fourth grade.
Then shut your mouth. There's not enough time in recess for you to put up 71 points.
We had another recess that day.
That doesn't count Lima likes.
And how about Paul Dolan in his champagne shower? Did you see Paul Dolan? He was having a blast. He looked like the fans, just a normal fan. A little awkward because, you know, he's a rich old white guy. But he was having a blast
there. People who probably do well in the stands.
And I wonder, I wondered about this. Like, even if you are the biggest, most miserable Dolan hater, there's not even just a little bit of you when you saw him celebrate, like, kind of happy?
Not really, because I saw the... I don't even hate the guy. I just... Not really, because I immediately thought of the one episode of The Simpsons where they're pin pals, and the guy goes, those beers are $5 a piece, and they start wringing out their shirts and putting the beer back in the bottles. That's what I thought of when they did that. I guess you guys didn't see that episode. Okay.
I just don't understand how he can't be... He's the owner of the team that always seems to do pretty well. And yet all we hear is anything negative to him compared to, you know, other owners in town that when things are going bad, I just don't think he gets...
I can give him credit for being a person that doesn't freak out and fire people willy-nilly.
Which there is value in that. There's a lot of value.
Yes, there is. There is a ton of value. I understand that. But, you know, he's an owner. And... owners are arm's length, man. Arm's length. They do good things. They make mistakes. He's done his very best, and I respect him as a person and as a man and as an owner. Just
Lima no likes.
And we get to this later in the show, or maybe tomorrow, maybe the podcast. The Ohio State loss to Oregon. I didn't react. I think the way that people thought I would react to that game. I thought Will Howard actually played really well until the boneheaded decision at the very end. And we're going to have discussions about Denzel Burke. What in the world? He was targeted 8 times, 8 catches. He couldn't tackle. He was getting dragged for 20 yards. It was really bad. One more, Kenny, because I know we got to go.
I don't know, likes.
Kenny would like to make a formal apology. I thought he's being the bigger man.
This is a Ken no like. There was a guy on the chain gang at Manchester on Saturday who's like, you guys should run a reverse. And I go, sir, I appreciate it. I don't need it right now. I feel bad. So whoever the guy is with glasses, it was an emotionally charged moment. I apologize.
And Ken took the time on the show to go out of his way to make sure to make amends. I think you're being a really big man right now. You. That's it for Lima Like.